Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 111, episode 1 of Der Daily Zeitgeist, a production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness and say officially off the top, fuck the Koch brothers and their Koch industries, and fuck Fox News. It's Monday, December 2nd, 2019. My name's Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. This Little Light of Mine. I'm Jack O'Brien. Courtesy of Hannah Soltis, and I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray!
Okay, here we go. These are some reality show AKAs. Miles Gray, a.k.a. Keeping Up with the Narblastrians, a.k.a. Tuskander Pump Rules, a.k.a. Clear Eyes for the Bake Guy, a.k.a. Hoopalance to be a Chillionaire, a.k.a. Flaccid and Afraid, a.k.a. Taco Bell Chiller in Paradise, a.k.a. Limp Practical Tokers, a.k.a. Project Run Gray, a.k.a. The Masked Venger. The last one, a reference to our old manager, Arsene Wenger, which I think we're kind of missing now. And that is from Trite Gang at Just TVZ, a.k.a.
Nice. Wow. We are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by the hilarious comedian Steve Hernandez.
Great to be here. These are probably my favorite 2 weeks of the year. Just two more weeks to truck in, give everything we have, and then just fall apart again for the end of December. I love it.
How do you look at it? What do you mean, like, these 2 weeks?
Well, we got 2 weeks. Right now, I feel clean. I feel like, okay, I got 2 weeks to go hard, creatively, and then I'm allowed to, for the last 2 weeks of December, forget about it. L.A. empties out. I don't have to do any open mics, any shows.
Right.
It's going to be nice. It's some of the funnest times. I'm just glad to finally meet Jack, the dreamboat, right here. I've been on this show. This is my third time. I had never met him. And I had heard, honestly, I heard online that you were like, whenever the fat Mexican's on, I want no part
that
of it.
That was what I said. But now that we've met in person, I'm going to stop avoiding
He'll always
you. This
be
is
it.
Great.
He's like, I don't have to be intimidated by this fat guy.
this dude rules.
Yeah. And God, honestly, Jack is much better looking than anything I've seen online. He's got like a really hunky quality, but he's taken.
You said JFK Jr. Even.
I mean, I'm not kidding when I say that. There's something about his brow and his eyebrows that I'm looking
and
at.
And the shorts. The short shorts that I'm wearing right now.
All that thigh meat. I could have used that on Thursday, buddy.
Mm. Those are killer tats. Imagine you have your thighs tatted up.
I knew you were an Amy Winehouse fan, but I didn't expect your face on your fat thigh like that, Jack. And then on the other side, it just says, "You know, I ain't no good." Wow.
I'm spinning around to show off both sides right now. All right, we're going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. First, we're going to tell our listeners a few of the things we're talking about today. We're going to talk about a new trend in grocery stores and gyms. We're going to talk about the polling on impeachment, which we finally have an update post all of the testimony last week or 2 weeks ago. So we'll check in with that. This actually happened more during the Thanksgiving break, but it's kind of interesting. So we'll check in with that. We'll talk about Texas GOP's 2020 game plan, which was leaked to the Democrats. They're not good at keeping those things under wraps.
Nah.
We're going to talk about the Build the Wall project, which has been handed over to Jared Kushner. So,
Case closed.
It's going to get done. We're going to talk about Republicans just taking on the Russian rebrand. We're going to talk about some scientific studies, all of that and more. But first, Steve, we like to ask our guests, what is something from your search history that's revealing about who you are?
I just looked up, let's see here. I wanted to know Jack Nicholson's age when he filmed The Shining.
Mm.
Do you guys have any idea?
40?
Close.
43.
That's exactly right. 43.
Oh my.
Wow.
Yeah. Is that just a good guess?
I think so.
Or did you literally use some kind of math
there? No, I didn't do any math.
And I looked up right to Tom Hanks when he did Forrest Gump, and he was, I believe he was 42.
Ah.
So these guys did some of their best work in their 40s.
Yeah.
You guys have nothing to be afraid of, okay?
Right.
We have our whole life ahead of us. And I was looking at it up because I saw Dr. Sleep. Did you guys see Dr. Sleep?
No, not yet.
If you are a king head, go see Dr. Sleep.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Whoever wrote it, the writer, and managed to meld the movie and the book together to make a pretty impressive sequel, if you're a king head. If you're not, you might not be as jazzed, but every Stephen King fan I've talked to love Dr. Sleep. That's why I checked out his age, 43 years old, and he looks great, sexy as ever. What a hairline. Those 70s hairlines are still sexy now if you meet a man who has that hairline.
Right.
But they're just not hyped up as much.
Yeah,
Nicolas Cage has that hairline. But I'm talking about sexiness.
His is an illusion. Well, Nicolas Cage's hairline.
And Nicolas Cage is also like he has all sorts of hair implants and shit. But like he used to have that hairline, and then Hollywood ruined him and was like, no, you must have a strong hairline. But yeah, I feel like they're not allowing that sort of hairline in movies anymore. Either get hair plugs or shave your head clean like Bruce Willis.
We got to bring bald back, Steve.
Bring it back.
Well, not bald. It's just a deep, deep V.
Yeah.
Way back there. Yeah.
Back halo.
I mean, think about Bill Murray, about all that stuff. And these are sexy men. Yeah, they're not conventionally attractive per se. But raw sexuality rarely is, okay? There's, I'm talking about oozing off. Let's slam down in the bedroom. Let's see what you got. Battle bot style.
With a receding hairline.
Like in Alexander, you remember when Colin Farrell was just with Rosario Dawson, like they were literally almost punching each other?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's the kind of sex I'm talking about.
Man, you know what's funny?
What was that in?
In the movie Alexander.
In Alexander.
That was a terrible movie. Bad bombed.
Movie. Right. Bad movie.
And also, it's funny, I was so fucked up when I saw that film, like on Xanax or some shit. I only remember three parts. It's that part and this other part where Val Kilmer is talking about a horse and he goes, his mind is broken.
About a horse?
Yeah, that couldn't be tamed.
I have so many funny memories about being effed up in the theater. Like, I remember I was drunk and I saw Troy, and I was just so drunk at some point. Like, we took Tall Boys in. I just like went and sat in the lobby. It was like the last showing at the Covina AMC. And then the people came up to me and they were like, hey, we're going to get rid of these hot dogs unless you want to buy them for 99 cents. And I was like, this is the best night of my life.
Don't remember
Slammed
the movie.
Three movie hot dogs for $3. Yeah. Yes, please.
Another one, Frailty, that movie.
Yes.
I was awake for the first credits, woke up at the very end.
Wait, what is Frailty?
It was like Bill Paxton,
filmed in Covina.
Oh.
Really?
Yes. So
holy shit.
It's very odd that you're saying that. My mom lives right by where they filmed that in Covina, Frailty.
Yeah.
It's kind of like these weird, it's a smaller thriller,
but it's
actually very good.
Yeah.
And
is there like multiple personality things?
Someone you're trying to figure out if they really have psychic abilities.
Or not. Okay, got it.
It's like a someone's
prophetic
a prophet
thing,
in
yeah.
it.
Got it.
Yeah, I think it was right around the time like I remember very vividly, Ocean Spray started making white cranberry peach juice. Mm. And me and my friends mixed that with a bunch of vodka in the back of his Trailblazer. And we fucking went to that movie. I was fucked up, man.
Oh,
I was fucking like, this is fucking 2001 this shit came out, or 2002. So I was 18.
Yeah.
And I'm fucking...
Is that the Chevy Blazer back before they gave it a nickname?
No, it was the new body style. Shout out to Chris. It was his black Trailblazer. But yeah, it wasn't the old school Blazer.
What is something you think is underrated?
It just happened, so I'm going to say this right now. White people Thanksgiving.
Mm.
You know, people give a lot of shit to white people, but they do Thanksgiving right.
I'm
going to tell you why. And I think it's because, this holiday really is for them. They're like, we eradicated all the Native Americans.
Yeah, it's the colonizers'
holiday. We enslaved all these Africans. They're like, we won.
How'd you get the notes of my exact pre-Thanksgiving prayer?
Dear God, we fucking won so hard, didn't we?
We won.
Yeah, it's nothing I'm proud of, but I've dated exclusively white women my whole life.
Wow.
And every time I've gone to Thanksgiving, I'm always so impressed, like how they have everything just laid out. And pies, and I really do think, because I'm Mexican, we get tamales at Christmas, but like, I don't know if it's just my family, but it's just like a half-hearted effort for Thanksgiving. It's always like dried out turkey or ham. Like, we don't know how to do it.
Yeah, we
don't know how to.
Well, because you're making somebody else's food.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. It's like, it's not that great. But if you go to white people, that shit is juicy.
Yeah.
So like, I've been doing it my whole life, and I really appreciate it.
Come to my black Thanksgiving. You have a smoked turkey. You know what I mean?
Okay, we'll do it next year.
You have greens.
Yeah, we'll do it next year. I would love to do that.
But yeah, there is something for me too, not being white and like having many friends that were, and seeing like going to a white person's Thanksgiving, it's like TV.
Right.
Yeah. It's like they have it on all these beautiful platters and everything.
And like everything's hot.
Yes.
Like, I never had, my house, like, the mashed potatoes are fucking cold.
Never had
shit.
A hot Thanksgiving meal in my life. I mean, like, I swear to God, impossible. I'm not just saying that.
It's like three of seven dishes are warm.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
The other ones, it's a toss up between scalding hot and ice cold. I mean,
that's
mine, too.
That's most of the Thanksgivings I've ever been to.
You know what?
Are you married to a Mexican? That's what I want to ask. Yeah. You must be.
Married to a
yeah.
Korean. And they do not do Thanksgiving the same way. But still, it's, I don't know. Like, I don't want to shit on my mom's Thanksgiving, so
yeah,
I'm
whoa,
just gonna
yeah, easy
keep it quiet.
Respect
yeah,
to
watch
moms.
Yourself. Well, I'm just saying, the white people, you know, the woman I'm with now, right? Beautiful platters, homemade cranberry, homemade rolls. You
what?
Know, yeah, the butter's like not hard. They do everything Ooh. Right, and people don't. You know, people shit on white people all the time, and I just want to say they do this thing right. Okay, big ups.
Shout out to my people. What is something you think is overrated?
Birthdays.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, anybody who celebrates their birthday for like a week or anything, you know, they're morons or
full-on narcissists.
Yeah, right. Narcissists, but they're mostly morons, you know, when, you know, it's just like, give me a break. But I remember when I was younger, I would have these big birthday parties and it would really validate.
Younger,
invite all
what
my
are we
friends.
Talking about? What age? Like 12?
32.
Okay.
30. I think 32 is like the last like big birth, especially being out here in LA and being in the industry and comedy. You invite everybody and everything like that. And now I'm just like, you know, just give me my close my podcast, fellow podcasters, my girlfriend's family, and my family. Let's lock this shit down. My girlfriend just had her birthday at Buca de Pepo. 20 people.
Love it.
Prefix menu. Mm. We're paying for everything. Shut the fuck up. We're just going to have fun. Yeah. We're just talking. Keep the cannolis coming. One odd thing that happened at Buca de Pepo, there was a photographer there that takes pictures, souvenir pictures. He was a white guy, tall, Swedish looking, fake Italian accent the whole time without cracking a smile.
No.
Wait, what?
Ah, I swear to God.
Wait, you had the City Walk one?
No, we went to the Pasadena one, and I swear to God, he was like, get her closer, give her a kiss.
No.
Like that.
No.
Not smiling, not joking. I wish I was making this up. It was the talk of the night.
And you knew it was fake just because it was so
just
offensive?
Why would an Italian guy with that strong accent come work at the Pasadena Buca de Pepo?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, this wasn't the Italy Buca de Pepo, okay? This was a fucking
there is no, they,
Swedish guy,
laughing.
Fake accent, not smiling the whole time. Made our night.
Yeah. He's like, what part of Italy are you from? He's like, Stockholm. I'm like, what the fuck?
Jack, how do you feel about
your
birthday?
I just met
an
Argentine dude from Argentina who has like the thickest, most cartoonish Italian accent I've ever heard. And it's
well,
like,
I mean, there are a lot of Italians that are in Argentina.
Maybe that's why. But like, he's like from, born and raised there.
Yeah.
So
wait a minute. So that's real too?
Yeah, that was real. So I don't know.
So maybe something.
Maybe we just have our idea of Italian restaurants or Italian accents wrong.
Hey, I don't know. He could be from the north of Italy where they're blonde and blue-eyed, too.
Right.
I don't like presents. You know, I think everyone here at this table is old enough to, like, buy whatever they want.
Yeah.
When they want it. I don't want to make people feel guilty about that stuff.
Oh, hell
yeah.
No.
Yeah, I don't like.
I don't like burdening people. That's why it's half the time I don't even want to plan shit because I don't. It's weird. Because I respond sometimes negatively to being invited places, I somehow, in my mind, I'm like, everyone else thinks the same way as I do.
Right.
So I will just not say anything.
Yeah.
And then the night before, people are like, what are you doing? Is
right.
It your birthday? I'm like, I don't know. We'll go to this bar or something.
Yeah.
But I'm not, I don't know. It's not like the thrill is gone. I just don't think it's necessary anymore. Like, I feel like after those milestone birthdays, I guess it all depends. And I think also, too, as a kid, my parents were like, do you want a party or do you just want these two things you really want?
Right.
I'm like, yo, give me them fucking things.
Right.
I need this fucking Final Fantasy VII double disc.
Yeah. I don't care for it, but I don't begrudge other people who are like really into like having a big birthday.
If they
celebrating
have a,
themselves.
I love to go to a great party.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But I think, like you're saying, I know people too to this day in their mid 30s do that birthday week shit.
Yeah.
And in my mind, I'm like, are you this really?
The
whole fucking week?
No. Like I said, I want to bring people that I know truly love me.
Right.
Which is my family, maybe like eight people. And I'll usually pick up an extra bartending shift too, so I try my best to pay for it. I like Petrillo's, and Rosemead is like one of my favorite pizza places. So the thing's going to be $300 or $400 or something like that. So I know it's coming. I pay for everything.
Boom.
So that it's like people walk away like, man, I'm glad that guy was born.
Damn.
You know what I mean? It's like, man, that guy got
you
me some
right.
free pizza
yeah.
and like garlic bread. And if he wasn't born, I wouldn't have eaten that. So,
I would have bought that.
Yeah, but I think birthdays for oneself are overrated.
Mm-hmm. Mm. What is a myth? What's something people think is true you know to be false?
Love is the most important part of a relationship.
Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. What's the most important part?
I think there's a bunch of things, but I think love is maybe 25%.
Right.
It's like not even that big of a deal. Have you been in love more than once?
I don't know, actually. Maybe like one and a half.
Yeah, well, yeah. I don't feel like you even want to talk about it. So and you're married, too, so you can't be talking like that. You're like, as soon as I saw my wife for the first time, I count that one and a half. But I've been in several relationships, and I know people who are just looking for love. But, you know, I think how people communicate, how you argue, the same values you have, what you want to spend your money on. There's a bunch of other things that play such an important part. And I just think I know too many people who, when they find love, they'll like try to hold on to it at all costs. And it's like not that big of a deal,
man. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You'd be surprised how quickly you can find love.
Yes.
Around. Yes. But like you say, it's really those other things. Like, sure, of course, that love is there. But are y'all acting as a team?
Yes.
Is the one thing. Because too many people are too caught up, especially when they argue in someone has to be the good guy and someone's the bad guy. And we will now begin to litigate who is the bad person between the two of us because it's a binary. Yep. And if you are the bad person, then I can flex on you and be like, well, you were bad that time versus like, is there a problem? Okay, do we need to fix it? Are we still sort of have this egoic attachment to being like, but I was right and you were wrong? Because if things happen, you can approach it as a partnership and be like, okay, yeah, I fucked up. I'm like actually sorry. Like we should do that differently, and it doesn't have to be like, but you're bad.
Well, you brought up an important point right there. That's one of the things I've learned in romantic relationships is if you're with a good person, and you should only date good people, really love you and, you know,
aren't using you for free meals.
If you're with that someone who is a good person and they love you, nobody that loves you ever really does anything to hurt you on purpose. So so you have to start from that place where, as if this person did something to hurt me, they didn't do it on purpose. And so say, hey, this hurts me. Mm-hmm. Or when you do this, this bothers me and it makes me feel this way. And then they usually go, oh, okay, I'm sorry, I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
And then you just move on.
Right, versus like, that was so fucked up. I don't know why the fuck you would do that. How dare you?
It's
like,
I'm
sorry, I took a dump on top of the toilet.
That's why, honestly, I would almost say a person's argument style is more important than love because, people can be very vicious and mean, or they carry patterns that they saw in their childhood incorrectly to that thing. And you know, you're going to just bump into problems more. So, yeah, I do think people talk about finding love. I think it's kind of a false narrative, and it's been sold a wholesale bill of golds, like sold bullshit to us as something that's super important. Find someone you have fun with. Find someone, like I said, you want to spend your money on the same thing, and find someone you communicate with. And I think, and you know, that's why I'm a huge fan of arranged marriages.
Says the poly guy.
Yeah.
I was going to say that, like, if love is a feeling, like, I definitely, like, when I was a kid, had, like, that, like, heartsick, like, feeling more than I ever did, like, as an adult. Like, that, like, sort of, oh, my God, I'm completely destroyed this shit. And, like, I feel like that was because I wasn't a complete person. Like, I hadn't, fully, like, lived my life. And so, yeah, there was just, like, more tied up in that. And I wasn't, ready for it.
I cried over a girl who broke up with me, and we only held hands.
Right. Yeah.
You know what I mean? No, when you realize how fucked up the stakes are, you're like, I don't know. What the fuck is this? What is this? Why, Brad, you're fucking 11 years old.
Why would she do that? All right. Let's talk real briefly about grocery stores. So grocery stores, we've talked before about how grocery stores are like looking at trends and how people live their lives now, and they're like, grocery stores are a place that people are meeting significant others now because we don't get out of the house anymore.
But sounds like a thing like the industry puts out there to try and be like, you might meet someone at a grocery store, because I know sales have sort of been declining because a lot of people, they'll eat out or they use delivery shit. They'll use like whatever, the Instacart type services to have groceries delivered. And a big thing is like, they're sort of looking at it as, how do we get people to keep coming back to the store.
Yeah.
And like it, there was one where we were talking about trying to make grocery stores more Instagrammable. We talked about that, I think, earlier this year.
Yeah.
About like a big push to be like, have displays that like millennials. It was written in such a painfully like boomer right. tone.
Yeah.
Of like, they're going to love these visual displays.
Put a mural of Biggie and Tupac in the produce section.
It says spread
kids
love.
Can flick it
it's
up
the
next
Brooklyn
to it.
Way. It's the Cooklin way. Cooklin groceries. The premier chef store in, what's that place? Let's call it Crown Heights. So with now, the new trend seems to be that people are adding gyms and workout facilities to grocery stores. Now, it's not like worldwide, but they're pointing to a Hy-Vee location. Not sure what that is, but I think it's out there in Minnesota.
Yeah, it's a big grocery store in the Midwest.
They're adding it build studios for Orange Theory, which is like an expensive, like high intensity training gym.
Right.
For like just in two of their Minnesota locations. And then also in 2014, there's a ShopRite in New Jersey had a fitness center that had like yoga and Zumba. And then like the Whole Foods store, the flagship in Austin has like more like they do like bar classes and spin and yoga on the roof.
Like yoga makes sense to me, but
in a grocery store,
anything that yeah, dude, where do you do yoga? No,
I don't know.
Anything that like requires a lot of sweating and shit. Like
that's what I'm saying.
That's unsanitary. Well, like I associate gyms with like staph infections. Like I don't associate it with like. Fucking
that's
a
why
clean
I don't go.
Place. Yeah. That's my
staff infection. Hell no. Dude, I'm worried about my health.
Are you
kidding me?
This sounds like a great idea. Are
really?
You kidding me? Don't you run errands?
Yeah, that's
and don't
true.
You go to the gym and go to the store after? I do that all the time.
I do that actually.
Yeah, are you kidding me? To have a Trader Joe's hooked up to a 24-hour fitness would change my life.
Interesting.
Damn.
Yeah. I mean, in fact, exactly that because I go to 24-hour fitness and Trader Joe's. I know you guys are clowning on, but this sounds great.
I guess the thing for me is whenever I've worked out, I'm sweaty as fuck.
Right.
And I'm like, I can barely walk around. And then to add on top of that, like shopping for groceries, because I guess unless you're buying your shit before you work out, that's one thing. And you don't have like any ice cream or something. Maybe they have lockers to
right.
store that shit. I don't know. I'm overthinking it. But anyway, for starters, I don't go to a fucking gym anyway. So
right.
it doesn't appeal to me regardless.
I go to the grocery store after the gym.
But I understand what you're talking
but
about.
But even you, both of you guys are dreamy looking. Imagine throw a sweat tee on that sweaty tee. It's like, this guy looks like a stay-at-home dad or something.
Yeah.
Like, women are loving that shit. Or, you know, guys, whatever.
I'll just spray my shirt so I look sweaty, just to
right.
kind of A-B test it.
Yeah, right. So like I said, I go to the gym after all the time. I love that. Where'd
would you,
go-
you yeah. like to be shopping next to somebody who's dripping in sweat?
A beautiful person, yes, I would absolutely love that.
Just the
just
idea of just
drink
like,
up those pheromones.
Nah,
because
you know like when the fucking aisles be like crowded and you gotta like scoop
stop.
Past someone?
Yeah. Some beautiful person, sweaty. Yeah, no. I would actually want to be right next to them.
Well,
yes.
See, we have different things. I'm not as into the sweat as
where
you,
where do
baby.
You shop? Where do you grocery shop?
Fucking Ralph's.
Which one? Around where?
I'll say in the San Fernando Valley.
Oh, yeah, that sounds terrible. See,
yeah.
I live here, buddy.
Yeah.
I go to Trader
I live
to-
here. Yeah. Treating the valley like it's some yeah. fucking space planet.
We know what the valley is.
I live
is.
On
it's
Earth.
It's over the hill, okay? I go to the Trader Joe's in off 3rd or whatever. That one's like near Mid-City.
Oh,
or
yeah,
I go to the
yeah,
Trader
yeah.
Joe's in Silver Lake.
Like La Brea?
Yeah,
that
yeah,
one?
Yeah,
yeah,
that
yeah,
one.
Yeah.
Which is, for my money, that has more beautiful people and a lot of people in athleisure wear. So they easily could be coming
right.
from the gym, that Trader Joe's. But I think ultimately I would meet another partner at the Silver Lake one. But either one of these, I'm going, my eyes are wide open looking for my
right.
next partner, you know, not looking for a new best friend.
Right.
And I would love to just see them a hair tousled,
right.
sweaty,
yeah.
or to, you know, be
like
maybe,
struggling model.
What
or
if
actor.
I'm, yeah, what if I help them spot them and then later on see them in the produce aisle?
Boom.
I mean, boom, we're seeing a
that's
whole.
That's a meet cute.
Yeah, that's
on
a meet,
top of a meet cute.
Right.
Bam, we're stacking.
Damn, yeah, I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, and I do wonder how much of this is like, you know, after a workout, you might be a little hungry, you might feel better
well,
about yourself,
yeah.
you might be more
oh,
willing
shit.
To like grab some of that candy off the aisle because you're like, mm-hmm.
That moral licensing
I
that happens
it.
After you work out, you're like, man, I've been eating really good this whole week. I worked out, you're like, I'm going to eat just a block of cheese and ground beef
hell yeah.
and bacon.
Oh, that sounds good,
my
man.
Because it's keto. But I think the bottom line is it's really just about keeping people as spending as many hours in that facility as possible.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, maybe if they have like a smoker's lounge next to that, see, that would get me. I'll get fucking high and then I go grocery shopping.
That's
motherfucker,
actually a great idea.
You will be.
Yes.
I will go broke in that motherfucker.
Yes.
Yeah. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. And we're back. And so we've been talking about how the polling on impeachment seems like, you know, it's always a week late. So after the very first week of testimony, it seemed like impeachment was sort of trending slightly downward, or like support for impeachment was trending slightly downward. And now it seems like it has shot back in the other direction. And now people, so I guess these are polls that came out right before Thanksgiving. So this was based on the week that Sondland testified and Fiona Hill testified. So it seems like that stuff actually had some impact on people. It wasn't just continuing to fall on deaf ears. It was like they actually...
Yeah, well, it was compelling testimony. Gordon Sondland looked just like a doofus stooge, totally caught up in a conspiracy.
Yeah.
And Fiona Hill was like, I have an English accent.
Right.
So everything I say will sound credible.
So you will and listen smart. To
and it did. And I think her shaming Republicans for spreading like talking points that were manufactured by Russians or something was also a poignant moment. If people who bothered to watch saw it. Well, I mean, I guess really, you know, the real thing is how much more of a case do they need to lay out before it goes to the Senate, where Mitch McConnell can then completely make the narrative of impeachment whatever he wants it to be, because now it's in his chamber.
Yeah. But like heading into Thanksgiving, I was hearing people in the mainstream media say that, you know, Schiff might not even impeach. He might just censure because of how like things seem to be like fading a little bit in terms of how the effect of the impeachment inquiry. And so this at least would suggest that there's a little bit more of a license to at least get it to the Senate.
Well, I mean, the worst thing is for like some kind of sense of like legal nihilism to set in.
Right. Because but that's what it is.
I mean,
man.
But that's what it is, because yeah. Everybody's, well, what's the fucking point?
They're well, that's sue, what it's going to be. And once then it the delayed. Senate. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that's really the real dark point. Is when we fully just get, we're like, man, what the fuck are the laws anyway?
Right.
Well, that's, I think without the popularity of impeachment, that's what they're leaning towards doing. But we do, it is Congress's job to get it to the Senate. We have to impeach him. I want to see that fool on the seat, the hot seat. I'd love to see him talking. Whenever mm-hmm. he talks, it's the best thing in the world. Yeah, they're going to look like morons. And then, you know, he'll remain president.
Yeah.
But that's just a... Congress's job.
Yeah, they
that.
Just have to they do just to have show to do that those thing. Mechanisms still function, even if the one chamber is completely fucking bought.
Yeah, right. And in history, will prove them to be, you know, evil.
Well, and I think that's the other thing too, is we almost need that to really help people, like to really further the narrative or just this observation that the Republicans have completely sold themselves out in service of keeping this one president in power, and that alone should be like. This they're done. Like if you were tied to this, like you might as well be Trump too.
Right.
And I think that's really where they like a vote like that on impeachment will further underline that. It's like these people can't even look at objective facts and parse through them.
Right.
Without calling it partisan. But again, I think with people living in such different realities, you'd hope there'd be a group of people who can see a lot of this shit on the right for what it is.
Yeah. But at least, so Nate Silver tweeted, you know, finally getting a few more impeachment polls and the notion that the numbers are moving against Democrats isn't looking so hot, plus four spread on supporting impeachment and removal, which is similar to the peak in October. So it's back to at least, I don't know, me not feeling like I'm living in a different reality than the rest of the yeah. country.
Well, at the very least, they just do the fucking thing, bro. You got the facts. Just keep moving. Do what you got to do. Because, yeah, I don't think anybody – I'm not sure many people think that once it gets to the Senate, they're going to wake up. So just right. let it play out however it needs to, and then we can go from there.
Yeah. All right. Let's talk about Texas, because this is something that I kind of hear different. You know, I hear the conventional wisdom, as it's always been, that Texas is a red state that Republicans will carry, and it's no – there's no chance of that ever changing. But then you hear, like, every once in a while, people are like, what, the Democrats? Like, things are shifting demographically.
The 2018 cycle was rough for the Republicans because, you know, there are huge gains from Democrats in the state legislature. And now I think they're really trying to figure out, like, we can't continue this trend because the majority has to be secured in this 2020 cycle. The thing is, like everything, right? For some reason, Republicans have this real knack for not necessarily, I know we said leaked their 2020 game plan to Democrats. They straight up just emailed that shit to Democrats somehow. Again, right. Just like it happens with like Trump or the Republicans at the federal level, they somehow just end up sending talking points to the wrong people. And this one was their full on strategy doc for the 2020 cycle. And it's just like their plan is basically step one, make a bunch of websites to smear the fuck out of people running against Republicans. It says the document lays out a plan to purchase online domain names affiliated with the names of candidates and begin building negative attack websites. For example, this is from the document, says, for example, we will purchase ZwinerForTexas.com, ZwinerForTX.com, and so on, the document reads. So basically saying from there, they'll build these websites and just fill it with a bunch of oppo or hit shit in there. So when someone thinks they're going to get more information, they will end up in the Republican smear site.
Right.
And then they also want to...
tactic is Scientology. Like,
sure, yeah. Yeah,
they buy domains exactly. of anybody who criticizes Scientology and just and then you're like, take you out.
Welcome to this. And then they're also going to, you know, doing some SEO, man, some search engine optimization to make sure that those websites come up also, like, or at least come up further to the top when you search them. So you only read bad stuff about their Democrats.
Well, and now we've reached the limitations of democracy when you see stuff like that. Because if people are checking out websites like these and they're being convinced by them, I mean, what is there to be done?
Right.
Right. You know, if they're looking for this stuff by themselves anyways, and it's just reinforcing their ideas. But with Texas specifically, I do know a lot of people leave California because they really can't afford it.
Exactly.
That's like a real thing. So I do believe that Arizona and Texas specifically are getting people that are more, at the very least, moderate.
Oh, well, no, they're all trending blue.
Yeah.
That's for sure. So at the very least,
You know, when you hear about, when you cross the line over to Arizona or things like that, and the gas is like $2 cheaper.
Right.
I mean, I love California. I love our state, and I understand why we tax things so much. But I do know people who are just straight up like, I just can't afford this place anymore.
Oh, absolutely.
You can't buy a home here, really. And gas is...
Or at least not in this county.
Yeah, and gas is terrible. So... I do think places like Arizona and Texas are going to be trending more blue just because people are moving there because they can afford to buy a home and to live. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, one solution that we'll probably get to decades down the road, but is regulating the internet so that this shit isn't possible. So you can't just have people like buying stuff and, you know.
Oh, yeah. Just making our laws a little more strict and rigid. So it's pure
like so much of this is just the fact that we are still governed by a generation that doesn't understand the internet at all. Like just that when you get to regulating the internet in any way, they're just like, I don't know. So like what eventually, hopefully this shit will come under control of, you know, the same stuff that controls our other institutions.
Well, I think that's why election reform is so important, because this kind of shit, this is how dark money flourishes.
Right.
They're like, they don't have, the party doesn't have to do it. They can get these other groups to do it and go hard on this shit too and have a full on, you know, campaign of bullshit smears and shit.
But, you know, as long as our country continues to worship at the feet of capitalism, you know, this is how Facebook makes their money.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
This is how, you know, all so many companies make this money. I can't imagine our government at this point. You know, I do hope people die out, but you know, medicine is making people live longer, and these people will not like release any hold of power either.
Yeah,
there's gonna have to be some kind of revolution. But with Disney Plus just out, I don't know if I have time for it. I mean, $6.99 a month, all that program.
Come on, have you seen Baby Yoda?
Yeah,
I ain't got time for this shit.
Yeah,
I'm trying to figure out who Yoda's baby is.
We're just too comfortable to have any real revolution, and it just keeps getting more comfortable. So something crazy is going to have to happen.
Well, especially when you look around the world and how people are in the streets, like in South America, or in the Middle East, and things like that.
What would it take for that to happen in America?
It would have to be like, I don't know.
Disney Plus going away.
Disney Plus
Netflix,
would go.
You know, gone. Yeah,
if all the entertainment was gone, that is what is going to happen. Because right
there
now.
There would be a baby boom and riots.
We're in
because
the,
people would start fucking and fighting again.
Yeah. Like the Roman Empire, you know, at the end, it was all bread and circuses.
Right.
Like gladiator fights. That's where we're at. You know, super cheap fast food. You can fucking look on the internet all day. It's like, why the fuck do I need to? I can just be in my house and not give a shit about anything.
Right.
Yeah. Dark times, folks.
I do wonder if tech billionaires are subsidizing Disney Plus, because that shit seems too cheap.
The opioid of the masses. Yeah. The new opioid of the masses.
Yeah, give it to them.
The other thing in that document that was interesting is that the Republicans in Texas are aware, though, that Trump's brand is toxic and a liability. So even in there, they pretty clearly spell it out. They say, given the polarizing nature of the president, I suspect some Republicans will refuse to turn out during the general election because they don't want to vote for him. Though I don't know that we will know what this universe would look like without us or a stakeholder creating a model, basically going on to like through some polling. Regardless, I suggest we set up a contingency budget to target these folks with mailers, digital ads, and text to encourage them to turn out for the U.S. Senate, State House, and so on. And it, like some of the names are sort of like, vote right down to the bottom, or
right.
Like trying to do taglines like vote right all the way, but I like vote right down to the bottom. Was like, it's that's like, dark and perfect,
and also
to the bottom,
way too appropriate.
Yeah.
So speaking of Republicans, this is something that I guess Salon was pointing out, but that it seems like they're moving from being like implicitly on the same side as Russia to like maybe they're just openly kind of going with a rebrand to like fuck
to full on autocratic
shit. Fuck the West.
It's hard to
know. Let's go with Putin style.
Yeah, at first
autocracy.
I was like, is it trolling? Is this all like an orchestrated plan to basically be like, okay, it's the end game for the conservatives. We're going to have to completely switch the system for us to stay in power, which means we're going to have to do everything and be evil. But like when you kind of look at some of the stuff that was happening the last couple of weeks, Senator John Kennedy from Louisiana was basically like not willing to say whether or not Russia was involved in election interference. Like when asked directly, it's like, but the intelligence community said it was Russia. You keep saying it could be Ukraine. And he's like, well, we don't know it wasn't Ukraine.
Right.
And they were like, no, but the
no,
intelligence internationally.
Right.
The experts, which you are not, have determined.
Well, you don't know and they don't know and I don't know.
Yeah. And it was like, what the fuck is this dude doing?
Right.
Like, that's completely odd. And then when he was called out, he kind of was like, oh, no, what I didn't mean that. I meant to say something else. But it was one of those moments where you're like,
right,
what the fuck was this? Then Tucker Carlson said he was like rooting for Russia, like in all of this, like in terms of like interference or whatever. He goes, why? Or in when it comes to other global conflicts, he's like, why would I care? He's like, I am rooting for Russia. And afterwards he said, I'm joking. I'm just trying to troll. But again, there is this like attitude about everything just sort of seems, whether it's not explicitly about necessarily, you know, becoming like Russia, but this move towards this autocratic ethno state shit is, I don't know. It just seems like it's becoming more, like overt, basically. And it's hard to, trying to understand what is really motivating that. If it is a conscious thing or if this is just sort of like any living organism trying to preserve itself, just thrashing about and doing whatever it can to maintain that. But
right.
I don't know. I was looking at many things and just kind of beginning to think like, what are they thinking? Do they still think they can do it?
I do think it's just trolling for the most part. But I also do feel like this is like the last gasp of like I say last gasp. I hope it is, but of like white supremacy, patriarchal action and stuff. They like the way Putin does it. He's like a gangster.
Yeah,
and that I mean America is a country of we're gangsters. We're founded on that kind of a power where you listen to what I say. Don't be disrespectful. It's like all really kind of fucked up stuff. We don't apologize. Trump doesn't apologize.
Oh, yeah.
It's all things like that where this is what America was founded on. I think we're fighting right now to become this new version, this version that we could be. But, I mean, it's at the heart, this is who we are as a country.
Right.
And so they love that. They love shows of power. They love that kind of shit. It's just an abusive dad.
Yeah, and I think it's maybe, too, not understanding, like, what the knock-on effects are. Like in the moment it's fun to troll and be like, oh well, who does know who actually hacked it, but not really realizing that effect it has on people who are like looking at our system and be like, what is this?
Yeah, what's happening?
Well, and it's America's desire to win at all costs, you know?
Yeah.
We always grew up with the phrase, you know, it's not whether you win or lose, it's how you play the game, which I mean, that really is true, but that's not, if we just want to win at all costs, we don't care who we're associated with. It's a really fucked up thing, and I think it's causing our country to rot inside out, and I think, you know, we talk a lot of shit about Trump, but I think he's just more of a cause about what's really going on. You know,
I think
he's a chump. Yeah, he's a symptom. He's not the cause. And so they just want to win no matter what. And they'll team up with whomever to win no matter what.
Well, I think his presidency accelerated the process of like very acute, pronounced white fragility and this like this feeling of waning white male supremacy, because that's really... A lot of this stuff is in service of that. It's like, who are the traditional people in power in this country? As soon as that field begins to expand, it's like, no, how do we keep this fucking here?
Yeah.
This group of people.
And that's why I think they love Russia so much is too. Russia hates homosexuals. Russia hates people of color. They murder people on that. That's the kind of thing that I think Trump and a lot of the people on top would love to get back to. I would love to just squelch
especially
power.
Especially with that in journalists, too. Be like,
oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Murder them.
They're shook over there.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, man, our journalists aren't shook enough.
Yeah. Yeah.
Basically, like, what they feel like, damn, if only our journalists were shook.
But I do, yeah, I think it's blatantly them trying to, like, they want autocracy. Like, he's not keeping that a secret. He wants to be authoritarian. He wants a world like Russia, and it's that vision of the world versus you know, the other side's vision is basically democracy. But like, that's
right.
I don't think people are like, well, how do the traditional Republicans, like people who are just, you know, fiscal conservatives, how do they allow this to happen? It's like, no, like anybody who's still supporting that party and in the era of Trump, like they have at least like unconsciously, maybe they haven't like admitted it to themselves, but they are on the side of like authoritarianism.
Yo, absolutely.
Yeah, like that's what all of this lines up to.
Yeah, and I think that's why it's important, I guess, to begin looking at it like that, to be like, this is what this party is going to evolve into.
Yeah, and basically, they're going to cheat and, you know, try and do smash and grab shit around elections. They're not going to try and, like, follow the rules. And then when you catch them, they're going to be like, this is a kangaroo court. This is an outrage, which is what Trump's doing. And, yeah, I mean, it's like there was a point after Obama won two elections in a row where the Republicans were like, we have to take a step back. We have to look at like demographics. Like, we don't have enough
conservative old white dudes
to continue winning. So we have to adapt and become more liberal. And that was like Jeb Bush and like people like that. And they were like, or like this other side came in and was like, or we could use white supremacy and just like try and do the Putin thing
and carve
like
the map up differently and just eke out an electoral college
victory. Just smash and grab. And that's, I mean, so they literally are fighting for their lives, and they're, it's not going to be pretty.
Well, I think that's where it's good to have people be aware that at the same time, it's going to be a fight for our lives too.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like in the way that they're trying to preserve their power, the knock-on effect is that it's infringing on our freedom or our ability to have an equitable society.
Yeah. All right. We're going to take one more break. We'll be right back. And we're back. And I wanted to ask a question briefly. It's kind of a dumb question, but do you know what the kill shot is? That like Nike shoe that's like kind of off-white colored and like has a blue swoosh on it?
Yes.
It's like, it's the J. Crew old school Nike.
Yeah.
It's the official shoe of UCB.
Yes. No,
improvers and sketch actors everywhere wear that Nike kill shot.
I've noticed in the last like 2 years that shoe is now like the only thing that white dudes in plaid shirts are wearing.
Yeah,
like,
it's UCB, baby.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. I don't think I've seen a piece of clothing like that has become that prominent. Like,
I guess, yeah. Well, the gingham shirt.
Right, the gingham
shirt.
That shirt. Yeah, yeah, that
shirt.
The
gingham shirt.
The J. Crew gingham shirt.
The gingham shirt, I think, was like that. But to me, this shoe, which I would never wear, because I'm swagless, is a thing I see a lot too. A and J. Crew, where unimaginative yuppies go to learn how to dress, and they're like, okay, if I dress like this mannequin, that is how I look like I have a six-figure job.
Right.
But also I see it a lot in like Outfit Grid Instagram accounts.
Okay.
Like, so for people who don't know, there's like, it's a style of Instagram post where people lay out an outfit, but like as sort of a grid, like on the floor. It's like, this is the shirt with the jacket, the pants and the shoes, not on somebody, but just the articles of clothing. And I see, this is like a standard shoe because I think it's, it goes with so many things, or just if you dress a certain way, it's versatile. But that's the other part I also see being reinforced too. So if you also like your style is based on like outfit grids on Instagram, you're like,
right,
I gotta have this shoe.
Yeah, yeah, most guys don't care about how they dress, and it does go with everything, and you kind of get away with it. And it's like a $80 or $90 shoe. It's almost like a Prius of a shoe.
Right.
Like anyone, you could get a Prius here in LA, and people will know, like, they can't tell how much you make.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's like, no, maybe they love the environment. Maybe they're just trying to be practical.
I mean, Leonardo DiCaprio has one.
Yeah, so. So it's just like that kind of thing where it's like, oh, I'm not poor or anything, and I'm fine, right? Isn't this fine?
But, like, J. Crew's been selling that shoe for, like, 9 years. And, like, J. Crew usually cycles through, like, New Balance and different types of old school Nikes and stuff. But that shoe, just, like, for whatever reason, I guess because they've been selling it for so long.
Or Nike just like, has them on some deal like that.
Yeah,
too,
but like, it's just, like, blew up in the last year. It's weird. Don't wear that shoe,
if you
guys. Find other sneakers to wear.
If you wear the kill shot, let us know why you like it.
Yeah.
But honestly, I'll be stunting on people in my sneakers.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I like a Cortez if I'm going to wear something like that too. Yeah. But a Cortez have so much, it's so ethnic, I think. But George Costanza, you know, pulled them off pretty well.
Yeah.
So,
and so did the Heaven's Gate Colt.
Yeah. If you're, those weren't Cortez. I forgot
what was the other
one. It was some kind of weird Mervyn's kind of knockoff thing. Yeah. Some $60 Nike. But yeah, if you're a white guy and you're thinking about getting a kill shot, go Cortez.
Right.
And you'll have the respect of people of color everywhere.
Be more interesting.
And the respect of George Costanza.
Yeah. I don't know. Also, but you rock Cortez is wrong. Someone might come for you.
No, I don't think so. I mean, dude,
I've looked at people funny when they're rocking Cortez in a weird way.
You can remember a time when somebody wore, of it right now?
Yes. I remember being in a Foot Locker and a really a person who was melanin deficient was looking at Cortez's and was like, these are pretty cool. I see some guys wearing this.
No, I like it.
And I was
like,
you're going to look like a fool, bro.
I like it. It's like, to me, when I see a white guy wearing a Nike Cortez, it's like a white Dodger fan. It's like, I'll die for you, fool. Yeah, it's like you're repping my hood.
Usually like La Raza.
Yeah,
right there.
It's like you're repping my hood.
Those should be called the Air Costanzas, man. He was wearing those in every, like, many, many different episodes. I'm just looking at, like, I just Googled George Costanza Cortez, and, like, they're everywhere.
They really
man.
Look sick on him, too. He did a great job.
He was wearing the, like, navy ones, I think.
Yeah, nylon navy ones.
Nylon navy.
Yeah.
It's called the Nike Decade is what the Suicide Cult wore.
The Nike Decade?
Yeah. Those are bad. Yeah. Cortez are good.
What are the ones that Marty McFly is wearing in Back to the Future? Those are similar.
There's a story. There is a story about the Nike employee who sold that stock of shoes to the Heaven's Gate cult. This is according, like, now take this with a grain of salt because this is a story that was out years ago. But the Nike sales rep was so proud of his big sale that he delivered them to the house and asked, "Is this for a basketball team?" To which he was replied to with something like that.
Wow. We're all cutting our dicks off and then taking a bunch of poison.
Did they do that?
Yeah, they cut their dicks off.
Oh,
they were,
man.
I mean, they didn't do it right before they killed themselves. That was like part of their jam.
Yeah, wow.
The Marty McFly Back to the Futures are the Nike Bruins.
Oh, shit. Oh, yeah, the Bruin is a dope shirt. Or the dope shoe. Yeah. I used to wear a SB version.
They look a lot like kill shots, though.
They do.
Well, because it also looks like a low version of a blazer. It's just like a certain style of shoe. It's meant to be retro, but you got the check.
I'm fine with the overall aesthetic of the kill shot. I just feel like if you are wearing that exact kill shot, it's like you might as well just be like, I gave up and decided to choose nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Choose this shoe.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about something more serious than my observations on white male footwear. So, Miles, you were looking at this study from VCU that is saying that mortality rates are increasing for working age people as life expectancy declines.
Yep. Yep.
That's
about it. Bleak, bleak outlook.
Right. But this is like unprecedented. This doesn't happen in the developed world very often.
It says, according to the study, death among Americans aged 25 to 64 are increasing, particularly in Rust Belt states and Appalachia. And they say these deaths have basically driven the life expectancy down since 2014, and they are linked to a few different causes. So compared to the 90s, working age adults are now more likely to die before turning 65 from drug overdoses, alcohol abuse, and suicides. And they call these deaths of despair, but also from other organ diseases. But essentially, these are symptomatic of a society that has no compassion, and its only concern is profitability. Because when you look at the hardest hit areas, they are the ones that used to have healthy manufacturing sectors. People were employed there. But as, you know, tax cuts, corporate rating, global trade, all this shit happens, completely turned into places with going through decades long decline.
Right.
And it says that the study shows that some of the largest increases in working age mortality since 2010 occurred among women and adults without a high school diploma. And so the industrial Midwest and other regions that have been hit by a lot of these changes since the 80s, like losses in manufacturing, et cetera, they are experiencing the largest increases in mortality.
Hmm.
It's when you look at it too, it goes back to the 80s, essentially. Like, we lost pace with other countries in the 80s, and then it stopped, the life expectancy stopped increasing in 2011, and then I think it flattened out, and then 2014, it started to decline. And this is a distinctly, uniquely American phenomenon compared to other industrialized nations in the world.
Do we think of it, so the 80s, and that was when things started moving in a like very conservative, like tax cuts, kill all the unions.
Reagan tax cuts were brutal, you know, like there's
all unions started going
NATO,
away.
All the NATO stuff.
There's a lot, I think there's a lot when you look around there, and even the late 70s too, which I think maybe that's why it started hitting in the 80s.
Right.
But that's really when those things began to fully start changing. And I think that's when, that probably makes sense why that's the reason why the U.S. started losing pace with other nations.
And you can't forget, it's one thing I like about Andrew Yang. I'm not a big Yang Gang guy, but he's the only one talking about jobs being lost. They will continue to be lost because of technology.
Yeah.
My dad was in printing growing up. He used to work at George Rice & Sons over there in East Los Angeles. And he had a really good job in the 80s and 90s. Like, I think he was making $100,000 a year when that meant something. And he had like a high school degree. But because of the internet, people just aren't printing things like they used to. I remember he used to make movie posters and magazine stuff, but magazines are going away. All that's going away. The whole printing industry, he had a printing job as recently as 3 or 4 years ago. He's like 64 now, and it's just decimated.
Yeah.
So people don't even think about that kind of stuff. But robots will continue to take away our jobs.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I think that's why a lot of people, as they look at the automation issue or that trend towards automation, like what that actually means for the nature of life in general, because right now the idea is like you work and that's how you support yourself. But is there a world where the technology becomes so great that most jobs aren't even necessary for people to do because we have automation, and then that brings in the universal basic income talk of like, well, then how do we level this? Because you can't just have people not working at all. And expect them to support themselves, and more importantly, to consume.
Yes. Right.
Yeah, exactly.
So yeah, if a person without a job is, I don't know if you guys have never had a job. I've mostly all had a job my whole life, but I can think of a time where there was 1 month between TGI Fridays and Claim Jumper where it was rough.
Yeah.
To me, I mean, when I quit being a pastor, I got a job at a liquor store full time and a gas station. What's it called? What do you call over that overnight shift? Graveyard shift, three nights a week.
Wow.
But just to have money, because it's bad. But if there's nothing to be had, or if I had a family, like forget about it. Yes. It's got to be the worst feeling. So when I hear about alcoholism and depression and all these things, it makes complete sense to me that you would feel so hopeless that it would happen. So yeah, this isn't very surprising. I think it's only going to get worse.
Oh, absolutely. And I think when you look at too, the, you know, especially the way societally we look at the nature of work too, for men also, it's like you're inundated with this idea, like you're the breadwinner, man. Like right. You're supporting. You can't even do that. Are you even, like all that shit begins to creep in. Man, I remember when I got out of college, I was like, I got a degree. And I'm like, I'm working at a t-shirt store because like the economy was just so completely decimated. And that even the owner of that place was having trouble. My checks were bouncing and shit. I was like, it's shit. I think it's a really serious issue too that we need to begin examining at every dimension. I think that's why when you look at the nature of people, you know, going bankrupt because they need medical care or being saddled with student loan debt or these other things, these are all factors that, like, again, when you look at these candidates and what they're talking about, you want them to treat a lot of these symptoms that's leading to this kind of these deaths of despair, essentially. And I think that's really very important to me is when I look at a political candidate, because these are other forces at play within the country that need serious attention.
Oh, yeah. It's not politics affects people's lives. My friend, comedian Kate Willett, just put out a thread talking about her family had jobs, but her brother had serious health problems. So they basically ended up going bankrupt because just co-payments.
Right.
And then the dad lost the job, so they're paying thousands of dollars a month for Cobra to maintain that insurance. And these are the things that, what is a country for if not to make sure that its citizens are happy and healthy and they believe they can achieve the American dream?
Well, as you said, it's all gangster culture.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, at the end of the day, it's like, it's really not about your well-being. It's about the people who are powerful enough to, like, make as much money as possible. I think that's really the shame in all of it, too, because, like, we just completely lack compassion for the human beings that live here in terms of, like, you know, our cultural value, our societal values, at least in this country.
Yeah. And, I mean, going to the Rust Belt thing, there's some stat I read this week that 2/3 of American GDP is generated by counties that vote Democrat. So there's, like, this whole, you know, the urban-rural divide is still real as hell.
Yeah. And I'm sure only fuels resentment between sides because you look at it's like, well, all the liberals live there. Oh, and that's where there's all this economic prosperity or whatever.
Right.
Meanwhile, over here, it can feel very much like two different fucking worlds.
Yeah.
And I think that's the real problem. And, you know, truth be told, even in these places, people are also still struggling in a very different way. I mean, not a very different, very similar way. Just it looks different.
Right. It's still being, you know, concentrated among the very wealthy. There's another stat that 60% of American wealth currently is inherited.
Oof.
Yeah. Man. So, which I mean, that's what we're doing.
Which is so crazy still that people will stick to a side that believes that, you know, to me, 80% being taxed after $10 million a year seems like, okay, who gives a shit?
Right. You have $10
million. But there's still a ton of very poor people who think,
that's fucked up.
That's fucked up.
Yeah.
Right.
And it's like, well, come on, guys. We got to look at the overall.
Yeah. I'd be like, what if I told you that person who's facing that that kind of tax hit is the same person who fucked you out of your job?
Right.
And completely moved a factory somewhere else so they could even get that $10
million. Yeah.
Right.
Do you still feel like you want to protect them?
And they do.
And they'd be like, whoa. It's catch 22, man.
And finally, it's time to talk about the last thing that's on you guys' mind after Thanksgiving, which is hunger.
Hangry. What is hangry?
I definitely feel this shit, man.
You get hangry?
Yeah, I get hangry.
So I get pretty hangry too.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. A lot of scientists are trying to figure out what that even means.
Right.
Like, what is hangry mean? Exactly. Like, can they scientifically analyze this? And obviously, for people who don't know, when you get hangry, that's when you got low blood glucose level, aka hunger. And then, you know, you start getting aggressive or moody or whatever. And a lot of people blame their hunger. I think maybe I'm just being immature and I'm blaming food. But
I get crungry.
Whoa.
Cranky hungry.
Oh, I thought you'd like, you get crunk when you're hungry.
I get crunk.
Well, as a fat man, I'm not allowed to be hungry. I didn't know if you guys knew that. But, you know, if I ever mention that I'm hungry, people are like, yeah, no shit. Or like, that's very hack. You're hungry.
Yeah.
Can't you live off some of this meat, buddy? Come on now.
Yeah. So they say... there was a few studies that they were trying to really get to the root of it because it's not just like about is it actual anger? Is it righteous anger? Is it just that you're lack awareness or things like that? So in one study, they had 230 students, like hungry students, And what they did is they were fucking with them by like deliberately crashing their computers, like in this experiment where they were doing these really tedious tasks. They were all hungry, but the frustration from that wasn't enough for them to get like angry or whatever. They're just like, oh, this sucks or whatever. And then they, but the thing was that group of 230 was divided into two groups. One group that was focused on their emotional state as they worked. So part of their thing was like, keep track of your emotional state as you do this thing on the computer. And another group that just did not, they're just like, do this thing. Right. And they found out that the group that wasn't tracking their emotional state was the one that was slightly getting more agitated. So they don't know if that was because of self-awareness or whatever, that it just hit them and they're like, what the fuck is this about? But what they said ultimately from that is that being hungry does change your affect or emotional state, but it doesn't suggest that it automatically leads to being angry or more selfish. And they did this in Europe too, with different ways using hungry people and seeing if they would be more generous or work together more based on their like level of hunger. And that didn't quite affect it either. So it's like they know it changes it, but it doesn't necessarily make you like less cooperative or these other things. I don't know, at the end of the day.
So they got more frustrated more easily if they were not consistently monitoring their moods.
Yeah, but it wasn't, but that was to show that regardless, both groups of people were hungry.
Right.
So whether or not it was the awareness or not, like it didn't necessarily say that you could be completely unaware or completely hungry and unaware, and then that was pissing you off.
Right.
So
yeah, so it's almost, yeah.
In my mind, you know, just fucking feed me.
I do feel that, you know, last week on Tuesday, I do feel like if you're not, your body's not optimal, that you're more likely to get angry. Mm-hmm. So I was like kind of sick last week with that cough thing that doesn't go away or anything. And then we were in traffic and I'm not really an angry person. I don't like really do outbursts. But last week I was, traffic was so bad mm-hmm. last Tuesday. That I mean, it took 2 hours to get to Covina from LA.
Yeah,
like literally, it was bad.
It took me an hour to get home.
Yeah, it took. I mean,
over the fucking hill.
Yeah, it literally took us 45. I live off of Melrose and Normandy. It took us 45 minutes to get on the 5 near Silver Lake. 45 minutes.
Right, right, right.
And then by Wednesday, it had kind of cleared out a little bit.
Yeah,
right?
I mean, yesterday was the big. Tuesday was the big day where that happened. But I wasn't driving. Julia was driving, and I was like punching the wall and everything.
Yeah.
And but it's just because I was sick too, and I kept saying, "I'm sorry, I'm being this way."
Yeah.
And she's like, "It's fine, it's fine." But it's just because I'm not like our health, and I think even being hungry, I think we're so used to just being fine that when you're sick or anything, you're like, "What is going on with me?"
Right.
And we're not able to be more as considerate or aware of how we're reacting to others or patient, and especially with loved ones. See, that's why this test is kind of thing. I think when you love people, they kind of become you become one with them,
mm-hmm.
and so you're more likely to like go off. I would have loved to see this hunger
you should
thing.
Know me.
I would with love couples. To see that with couples
building IKEA furniture hungry. Oh my god.
Yeah, that then we're gonna no Swedish meatballs, baby. That thing is not getting built.
Oh fuck. Don't even I need Swedish meatballs. Even the frozen ones go hard. All right, make them at home with the gravy packet.
Oh, I thought you meant eating them frozen.
I just put them in my mouth. It's like a little popsicle thought in my mouth.
Steve, it's been a pleasure having you, man.
Oh, it's been you know, it's so great to meet you, Jack. Yeah, I'm so happy to meet you finally. We're going to have to start hanging out all the time.
It's a regular thing.
Stuff. Meet at that Trader Joe's.
Meet at that Trader Joe's, exactly.
Yeah.
Mid bench press?
Yeah. Hell yeah. I'll spot you, fam.
Where can people find you and follow you?
You can find me at Big Hurt on Twitter, Hurdy on Instagram, or you could listen to one of my podcasts. My movie podcast is Views from the Vista with Zed Kutzinger, Honor Nezzo. My religion ethics podcast is Who's Your God with Amy Miller.
Yeah.
And then my sexy news podcast is The Male Gaze with Alan Strickland-Williams, Brody Reed, and Zed Kutzinger.
Ooh. And is there a tweet you've been enjoying?
Yes. He's a Twitterer. I'm talking about Brody Reed. I work with him on The Male Gaze.
Yeah, that is a fucking murderer's row, by the way.
It's very fun, and it's coming together more and more all the time. I've been, as someone who creates podcasts a lot, I'm very hesitant to put together super teams because it usually doesn't work out. It's like the Lakers back when they got Karl Malone and everything.
Right.
The personalities don't work, but this one is working out. Brody Reed posted this last week, and it is so funny. It was based on that tweet that went around with that woman who's a PhD said, "Oh, I would appreciate if people sent me text this way," and the person sent the text that said, hey, do you have the emotional capacity to hear from me as a friend right now? I have some weight medical things to talk to you about. And she said, no, I don't currently have the emotional capacity to do this, but do you have someone else? It was a whole thing that went on. So Brody created this tweet from someone named Billy, or this, it looks like this person named Billy is texting the person. This person named Billy says, do you have the time to listen to me whine about nothing and everything all at once? And the next one is, I'm one of those melodramatic fools, neurotic to the bone, no doubt about it. Sometimes I give myself the creeps. And the response from this person is, hey, I'm so glad you reached out. I'm actually at capacity right now, and I don't think I could hold the appropriate space for you. Do you have someone else you reach out to? I like this. It's of the zeitgeist, yeah. But I actually know that Brody has been jamming that Green Day album for the past 2 weeks.
Right.
Which, by the way, jam Dookie now in a car if you have a chance. Yeah. It got played out so much when we were younger, but when you play the whole thing now, it sounds so fucking good. It's such a good album.
Even that secret song, I think.
Yeah, so I love that secret song. So he was jamming the album, and then this thing came up, and he put, I love when you could see a joke come together, and you know how it came together.
Right.
His whole feed, Brody is really locked into who he is as kind of like a black, dark prince of goth, dark prince of Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's so beautiful, too. He looks like Terrence Trent D'Arby. So he's really locked into
his Terrence.
Yeah. Wow. I mean, he's just really locked into his voice. And so I was trying to figure out who I have been loving lately, and he just happens to be my friend. But I was going down his thing and just doing this. He said, I love hitting the cold brew so hard. When you hit it so hard and it feels like you went to college. I love that. I mean, he just had so many. I was just going through his whole feed. So if you get a chance, check out Brody Reed. His tweet is A-O Brobro. That's at A-Y-O-B-R-O-B-R-O. And very funny guy.
Miles, where can people find you?
You can find me and follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Miles of Gray. Tweet I like. Let's see. This one is from Dana Donnelly, at Dana Donnelly. It says, hello, everyone. It has come to my attention that I have a rare type of depression where I have enough energy to do the things I want to do, but not enough energy to do the things I need to do. I am self-diagnosed. Doctor says this, quote, isn't a thing, end quote, but she can eat shit. yes, that's me. That's all from me today.
Josh Seafried tweeted, everyone's doing the 10-year challenge. Here's one, 2009 minimum wage, $7.25. 2019 minimum wage, $7.25. And then Andrew Nadeau at MacGyver tweeted, trying to make friends. Me, what's your favorite burner on the stove? I like front left.
What's your favorite burner?
I think back left, actually.
Back?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm a front right man
I'm
myself.
I'm a front left or front right. I use front right more because that one has a quick boil setting.
There you go.
Like the flame comes out wild.
Back is because of kids, because if it's front, kids can just reach up and pull shit off.
Jack, do you have kids, too?
I got two kids.
How old are they?
3 and 1.
Oh, you lucky man. These beautiful babies. Good for you.
Thank you. I am lucky. And you can follow me on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes, where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as the song we ride out on. Miles, what are we riding into this fine week upon?
Okay, we're going to do a track from Home Shake. It's called Just Like My, and it's just got good, it's easy. Look, we know we just had a nice week of eating and feeling ourselves, but now we just need to ease out of it. I don't want to do anything too heavy or intense, and this is just a nice warm blanket of a track with a nice, just like the keyboard sample or the progression. I don't know if it's a sample, but I like the keyboard work on it, like the beat, like the vocals. You know what it is. Home Shake, Just Like My.
All right. The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. We are going to ride out on that. We will be back this afternoon with our Zeit Trending Watch. We still haven't titled that thing.
The Zeit's Watch?
The Zeit's Watch. There you go. Man, we'll use that one. Yeah. And we'll talk to you then. Bye.